Please turn with me tonight to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Paul's second letter to the Corinthians, chapter 5, verse 17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. So many titles could be given to this verse, but I chose a simple one. Put off the old. Put off the old. I could have said how to become a new creature. I could have said how to be born again, but put off the old. Of course, you cannot put off the old by yourself. Left to yourself, to your own ideas, it is impossible. The Ethiopian Bible says cannot change the color of his skin. The leopard cannot change the spots. The zebra cannot remove anything of those spots on his skin. So in the same way, we cannot change ourselves. It must be God's doing. God must intervene. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. So this is it's a familiar verse, and it is so easy to look over it. And we read it, but we say, what's going on in the verse? We don't give it much thought. But I believe this is one of those greatest statements, the most striking statements given to us in the Bible about conversion, about assurance, about how could I become a new person, forgiven person, having fellowship with the living God, not just living for myself, but having now a purpose in life. Please look at it again. There is nothing complicated in the verse, grammatically, in the syntax, in the wording. It has 23 words. This is even shorter than the most known verse of the Bible, John 3:16. This is shorter, 23 words, while John 3:16 has 26. But if you notice well, most of the words are of just one syllable. One syllable. So which means there is nothing hard. It is so simple. But this verse also was given to us by Paul, an apostle, inspired by God. And he's not like some of those people, they live in an ivory tower and telling all the people what to do. But this man, Paul, is speaking from his own experience. Oh, you know, I'm sure if you have ever read the Bible, Paul was a proud man. He thought a lot. He had a high opinion about himself until he was proud about his identity, his family, his pedigree, his education, even the sect, the religious sect he's from, he was very proud of it. The Pharisees, those who see, they see things from far. That's what Paul even thought in his ignorance, of course, and in his pride. But guess what? One day, while he was going to arrest Christians, to kill them, this man was, if I may use this word, he was stricken blind. And now he had to be led like a child. He had to be called like a child. Saul, Saul. And he was leading the people. But on that day, his pride, he was humbled to the dust. And like a beggar, he was led by other men. So this is a man who knows what it means to be a new creature. He has experienced such things in his own life. And as you hear his cry, he said, "Who art thou, Lord? What wilt thou have me to do?" He was humbled. His transformation was radical and irreversible. Like Paul, without the miracle of conversion, we are hopeless, helpless, we are only carnal and living for the present, for the here and now, without really hope in this life, but also in the life to come. We are different than animals. God has created us with a purpose and for a purpose. That's why we must come to him. So Paul speaks to us. You see, people, they want heaven, and I'm sure someone in our midst tonight, he wants heaven, but the problem, people want heaven while they hate the landlord of heaven. I want to go to heaven. Yes, but you know, heaven belongs to someone. Who? The president? No, he's too small. The queen? Too small. The king? Too small. It belongs to the Lord of lords and King of kings. It belongs to the God who sits in heaven while his feet are on earth. Such a great God. So you cannot just want heaven while you hate him. And the other trouble with us, each one of us, we want heaven, we want to live in a better world, but we do not want to become better creatures. So this is the problem we are facing with this verse. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. And the new creature, that expression, is used many times by Paul in Ephesians, in Galatians, and so on. He uses that expression. But can I say, to be a new creature is synonymous to be converted, to be saved, to be forgiven, to be a new person. That's the meaning, really, of being a new creature. I'm converted, then I'm a new creature. I'm saved by trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ, I'm a new creature. But please, let us look unto this verse. I believe every word is important. Oh, at the end, you may forget many things I have said, but please memorize this verse. Take it into your heart. I believe it can change the life of the worst of us, of the most wicked among us. If he remembers what is said in this verse, God can be merciful unto him and give him a new life and a new heart. Therefore, the preposition is important. That's what we call a connecting word. It gives us an explanation of what has gone before. I will not go to what was said before, because there is a lot we have to consider in the lapse of time we have before us. Therefore, connecting word. If any man be in Christ, that's the second expression. If any man, or let's say, if any woman, if any man, any child, and without distinction, every person, anyone who comes to the Lord Jesus Christ, everyone who trusts on Calvary, if any man, please don't neglect that if, that small word, if. It is an important word. It is a conditional word. Conditional word. If any man be in Christ. You are not in Christ, then you are not a new creature. You see, in order to enter heaven, you must be in Christ. There is no middle position or middle ground. That is the prerequisite condition. Why? Because there is only one Savior. Acts chapter 4, verse 12 says, only one name was given under heaven among men, by which men, you and me, could be saved and have fellowship with God. 1 Timothy 2, verse 5 says the same. There is only one God, but also one mediator between God and man, Jesus Christ the man. So you want heaven? You want to be a new person? Or the condition, if any man be in Christ. But what does it mean to be in Christ? I hope I could explain that so nobody will stand before God and say one day, no, in that church, they didn't tell me what it means to be in Christ. But before we go any further, to be in Christ, the word Christ means the Messiah, the anointed one, the appointed one, the chosen one. You have thousands and thousands of people who claim they are prophets, but there is only one. You have hundreds of religions in this world, but there is only one, the Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ, Christ Messiah, appointed one, anointed one, chosen one. He was chosen not by men. Men didn't say, let's choose him, he's a nice person, and we will make him our mediator between God and man. No, he was chosen by God himself. That is the difference between Christianity and every other religion. They claim, but they cannot show you. But Christ is the mediator. He is the chosen one. And that expression, if any man be in Christ, the expression, two words, in Christ, is favorite to Paul. Just imagine, in his writings, he used that expression more than 160 times, which means it is so important. But what does it mean to be in Christ? My dear brothers and sisters, and if you are a visitor for the first time, you have never been in church, please, the word to be in Christ is important. And it tells us this. First of all, it means when we come into this world, when we were born into this world, we do not come with Christ or in Christ. Because there is a step further to be in Christ. Nobody is born with Christ or in Christ. Do you know how are we born? Bible says, we are all born in Adam. He is our father. We are all born in him. And Adam has fallen. He has sinned against God. And because of him, every man coming into this world is a sinner. There is no middle position. Either we are in Adam or in Christ. We are saved or unsaved. We are servants of sin or servants of righteousness. We are either dead in sin or alive in Christ. We are either the old man in Adam or the new man in Christ. That's the meaning. We are either in the flesh or in the spirit. And you know, many passages in the Bible says, blood and flesh cannot inherit the kingdom of God. What is born of the flesh is of the flesh. What is born of the spirit is of the spirit. So I cannot make myself to be born again. I cannot make myself to become a new creature. God must do it. We live and die in Christ. Nothing, Bible says, shall separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. In Christ Jesus all the time. And in Adam, our nature is fallen. It is bankrupted. Do you know, in Adam, you and me, without life, spiritual life, your company, your nature has fallen. Bankruptcy, total bankruptcy. And you know, you need what? You don't need a repair. You don't need just small things to make you to turn a new leaf or to have good intentions or to make good resolutions. Bankruptcy. You are crushed and crawl under heavy, heavy debts. So you have to be under new management, if that's the way to put it. Because the company, your life is gone. No way to fellowship with God. Your prayers, oh yes, you may think you pray, but the prayers, this expression, we say your prayers are not going beyond your nose, which means they are not going anywhere. It's just light prayers, shallow prayers, and God cannot hear me. Why? Because there is sin in me while God is holy, and my sins are making God to hate me, really. And he cannot fellowship with me until I repent from all my sins. So to be in Christ is the key to salvation and life. May I ask you, in the most gentle way, may I ask you, where are you tonight? Are you in Adam or in Christ? Because those are the two positions. In Christ or in other. Children, where are you? Oh, yes, you are in this world, but to be in Christ is what is required from the Word of God. Now, what do you think of Christ? Before I come and explain more about what it means to be in Christ, what do you think of him? Because if you notice in verse 16, 2 Corinthians 5:16, it says, wherefore, henceforth, know we no man after the flesh. Yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we him no more. What do you know about Christ? If you are asked, let's say that I take you to the court and you are asked there not to go into prison, God forbid, but you are asked tonight to defend yourself. Who do you say Christ is? Who is he? And you can hear so many answers. For so many, they know him only according to the flesh. Yes, Christ is somebody. There was someone called Jesus who have existed 2,000 years ago. Yes, there was somebody. Christ, who is he? A historical figure. Who is he? A teacher, a great example. A philosopher, even some people think. But is he, some will say, a great religious founder? He founded one religion, and that religion is called Christianity. Is this your answer? Can I tell you, from the Word of God, every one of those answers is wrong. So who is Christ then? He is more than that. He is the Lord. He is the Savior. He is the Redeemer. He is the God of glory. Do you know what he did? He came into this world not just to walk and do certain miracles. He healed so many people. There are villages, as you read the Gospels, where the Lord Jesus Christ healed everyone. And sometimes people say, if only I see miracles, I will certainly believe. Some villages where the Lord Jesus healed everyone, you know what they said? Leave us alone. You remember Legion, how he healed somebody who was possessed by a legion of demons. And when the people saw the demon possessed being healed, and they said to the Lord, leave us alone. So it's not true when people say, if I see a miracle will not convert anyone. Actually, it will harden you, because more you see miracles, more you want miracles. Endless. But faith is what brings you to know the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the God of glory who went to the cross and paid the price for all our sins if I believe in him. Now I come. What does it mean to be in Christ? To be in Christ means I see myself as a wretched man. You know, you do a survey, most people in the street, you ask them, what do you think about yourself? I'm a good man. Don't tell me I'm a sinner. Don't tell me I'm not good. Because you compare yourself with others. But even so, you know what the Bible requires from you and me? Perfection. Not just to be good. But Bible says we must be perfect. And you travel through every continent. You will never meet or find somebody who is perfect. Most people, yes, I'm okay, but I'm not perfect. They blame their character when things are going wrong, because they know deep down in their hearts they are sinners. And Bible says, if anyone says he is not a sinner, he deceives himself and he makes of God a liar. Who are we? We are sinners. So to be in Christ is to see myself as a doomed, condemned sinner whom without repentance and trusting in what Christ has done on the cross of Calvary, at the day of judgment, the verdict will be condemned. But as I trust in him, the verdict will be acquitted. No more guilty. Free at last, and have fellowship with God. To be in Christ is not about some washing or some scrubbing or attempt here and there to bring about a change. You see, we need a whole cleansing. It's not about just tidy up here or dust off here. This is not what we need. We need complete forgiveness, cleansing. And Christ said, If we come to him and we trust in him, he will make us to be whiter than snow. Whiter than snow. That's his promise. To be in Christ is to have our life hidden in him. To be in Christ is to be declared righteous. I'm unrighteous, living for myself, not doing any good which pleases God. Even, Bible says, even our good works, all our righteousness is like a filthy rag. I wonder when I read that verse, even my good works are a filthy rag before God. What about my sins? Oh, that's monstrous, actually. It's horrible, horrific. But I can receive free of charge the forgiveness of a kind creator, of a merciful God and a gracious God. To be in Christ is to have free access to innumerable promises and spiritual blessings. That's what it means to be in Christ. To be in Christ is now, it means that God hears my prayers. Do you know, if you believe in another religion, Bible says our prayers are heard on high only in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. No prayers said in any other name will have impact or effect in the heavenly places. That's why Bible says the effectual, fervent prayer of the righteous man. Who is the righteous man? The person who believes in the atoning death of the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary. That's the righteous man. And his prayers, Bible says, availeth much. There is power in that prayer. Power first to convert. As I go to the Lord in prayer, repenting from my evil ways, turning away from my sins, and crying to the Lord Jesus Christ, Lord, help me. I'm an evil person. Maybe you think I'm making it too bad, but this is what we are actually before God. But I come to him and his mercy will receive me and I will receive a new nature. So to be in Christ is to have that our prayers are heard on high. If you have never come to Christ, I beseech you. That's what the text says. I beseech you. I'm not begging you because God is powerful to bring you to on your knees, but I beseech you to look unto him, repent from all your sins, and look unto the work of Christ on Calvary. But if you do that, the text says, look at the text again, it speaks better than me. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, what is the consequence of being in Christ? If I come to Christ tonight, you are saying, what will happen to me? The text says, he is. Did you notice that it's in the present tense? Not that he will be, he shall be. Not he will be now, right now. I have fellowship with God. And actually, the Greek text, the word, he is a new creature, is more than, it is very strong in the Greek text. And it means this, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation, not just a creature, a new creature. He is a new creation, metamorphosed, changed, transformed, not by his own power, but there is that mighty power of God who changes this sinner, this caterpillar, and change it into a butterfly, and there will never be a reversal. Never. I have never seen a butterfly which later became a caterpillar. It won't happen. So the change is so great because God has the power to do it. So, but also it is strong because if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. This is the certainty. There is confidence. It's not perhaps or maybe. You see, I sometimes speak, when I speak with Muslims, the first question I ask them, will you be going to heaven? And an honest Muslim will say, inshallah, maybe, perhaps, I don't know. It's all in the Lord's hand. But here, we are given the certainty, the confidence that if any man be in Christ, any woman, any child, any adult, whoever you are, it's not a matter of race or language or pedigree or education or race or tribe. anyone coming to be in Christ, he's a new creature. Oh, that's the God who has created the heavens and the earth has the power to recreate us. Nothing is too hard unto him. Once a sinner is in Christ, he is right now. Not he might be, or he may be, or he will be. It is a miracle. My dear friends, God in his power, he doesn't just repair us, or restore us, or turn a new leaf, or upgrade us, or improve us. He does a complete change in us. We become what we were not before, and what we will never be again, because he has that power to change us. He makes us not to be better, but entirely new. Entirely new. Oh, I can give you an example. This shouldn't slip into my mind. I know a Muslim back in Africa. This man, he was so fervent, but he started to come and hear the gospel. He was completely changed. And I can witness to you that one day, two old ladies from the city came to see me and they said, "What have you done to this man? Have you some magic?" "No, no magic." "What have you done to him? He's not the same anymore." "The Lord Jesus Christ did the change. He's not the same." They couldn't recognize him again. The way he spoke, the way he behaved, the places he went to, the people he related to, he is completely a new person. And that's what God does in the heart and in the life of a sinner who comes to him. I could multiply the examples to you tonight. Paul, who wrote again, a persecutor of the church, a breaker, a destroyer of churches. But you know what? He became later a church planter, not just one church, many, many churches. He became an apostle of the Lord Jesus Christ. Most of the New Testament was written by Paul. The persecutor became the preacher. You know the Samaritan woman, I'm sure, if you know the Bible, John chapter 4. This woman went through 6 weddings. One husband after the other, one after the other. But the thirst was there, the spiritual thirst, until the day she met with the Lord Jesus Christ. And you know the text. She preached the gospel to the whole village. And many, many were converted. She was a new person. Matthew, who wrote the gospel of Matthew, the first gospel in the New Testament. He was a crook. The publicans were not nice people. But he was transformed when he met the Lord Jesus Christ. Actually, the Lord Jesus Christ came to him and he said to him, "Matthew, follow me." Matthew left everything. He left his riches. He left his work. He left his importance. And he followed the Lord Jesus Christ. And he gave us an eternal legacy, the gospel of Matthew. And so many. Zacchaeus, the same. So many examples. Lydia, the merchant, the seller of purple, was transformed also by the gospel. And we are told in Acts chapter 16 that the Lord touched the heart, opened the heart of Lydia. And she was this, and now she is someone else. There was a complete transformation in her life. John the Apostle, James the Apostle, they were thunders. They were called sons of the thunder. But the thunder became rain when the Holy Spirit touched them. And they were completely transformed. Oh, I could endlessly give you example. Myself, I was servant of sin and religion, just a vague religion, reciting things I do not even understand, no hope for heaven. But Christ, through Matthew 11, verse 28, said, "Come unto me." I couldn't resist. I came, and I know if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. It is the beginning of a new state of being, born of God. He helps us to walk in newness of life. And there will never be reversal. That's the beauty of it. Once you are in Christ, he will never let you go. Oh yes, from time to time in our foolishness we stray away, but he has power to keep you. Philippians chapter 1 verse 6, God who has started in you that good work will keep it to the end, and he will perform it to the end, accomplish it, fulfill it until the day of the Lord Jesus Christ. But please, I know my time is over. Look at the verse again. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. What are these old things? If I may read a verse from Isaiah 38, verse 17. Hezekiah, King Hezekiah, and he speaks here. He made a prayer. It is a great prayer, a great confession. He said, behold, for peace I had great bitterness, but thou hast in love to my soul delivered it from the pit of corruption, for thou hast cast all my sins behind thy back. If you are in Christ, your sins, every sin, you can count them if you want. Can you? Mountains, so many of them, but God removes them in his mercy. The old creation is everywhere around the world. You go out, the old creation is there. But now, I'm in Christ. The enmity came to an end. The rebellion against God is replaced by friendship. No more a slave to sin. No more in darkness, guilt, or confusion. I'm not confused anymore. I have light. I have the word of God. It is a light at my feet and a lamp at my feet and a light on my path. So I can see where I'm going now and in the life to come. All belongs to the Lord. My character is not an excuse anymore. I change in my words, in my thoughts. I stand before God as if I have never, never committed the slightest sin. Isn't that amazing? Like I have never said a wrong word. It's all by grace. And the last part says in the text, old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Do you see again? All things, not just some, but all of them. All things may pass away. No, are passed away. It is done. As soon as I trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, all things. My debt, remember, your company bankrupt, but now there is life. You can be blessed and you can have new life. And not they shall be, but all things are become new. They become new like a newborn baby. I have never met somebody who speaks about a baby in the past. Oh, last year he did this and that. A newborn baby? No, you cannot speak about him in the past. Newborn, that's the idea in the verse. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, look, see what God has done. All things have been made new, and he is a new person. He has no past record. God took everything, and everything was forgiven unto him. Remember ye not the former things, neither consider the things of God of old. And their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. That's what God said in Hebrews 10, verse 17. Their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. He will cast them away in the seas, in the deep waters, as far as the east is far from the west. That's the forgiveness God gives us. No matter what you have done, no matter what sin you have committed in your life, you are in Christ. All things are made new. Oh, now I see the Lord Jesus Christ differently. I'm no more on the broad way of perdition. I'm no more indifferent to God and his word. His word means much, so much to me. Now prayer is meaningful. My prayers can be heard on high. I have a new attitude, new desires, new resources, new opinions, new affections, new conduct, new thoughts, new nature, new heart, new understanding. The pride which was pulling me down now is mastered because I have a new master under new management. I have a new master, and the Lord Jesus Christ is my master. I have new perspectives. I have new purpose. I'm in a new family, and I will never be disowned. You see, your father and your mother in this world can disown you, but once in Christ, I will never be disowned. No man shall pluck you out of his hand. He is powerful enough. Oh, can I close? Are you in Christ? Are you in Christ? Have you seen what you are missing not being in Christ? Have you trusted in his atoning death? Can I call you? Come to him. He said, come and call upon his name. Bend your knees and your neck before his majesty. Lay down your life unto him. Don't say, I have all time. I have this night. I have next week. Who knows? You come to him. Today is the day of salvation. Look unto him by faith as Lord, the only one who can save you. Did you see verse 21, what Christ has done for you and me? For he hath made him, God had made Christ to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Christ make all things new. One day, heaven and earth will be renewed. But the greatest news for you and me is that tonight I can be a new person. I don't have to wait 1,000 years. I don't have to wait next week. Even tonight, I come to him. That's the best of all. He makes me a new creature. He protects me and preserves me for a new heaven, new earth, in a new Jerusalem to be with him forever and ever. Let's pray together. Gracious Lord and Heavenly Father, O Lord, we cry for thy help again. These things are so precious. O Lord, let no one be found in our midst who are taking these things lightly or laughing about them or just joking about them. This is a matter of life and death. And we pray, Lord, again that in thy tender mercies, that thy visit will be given to any seeker in our midst, that this verse will continue to ring, to echo in his heart and mind through the night, through the week. Let him not find peace until he turns his heart unto thee, Lord. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things have passed away. Behold, all things are become new. We thank thee for these promises, Lord, and we praise thy name in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Let's close by singing.